Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're again visiting at length today with Congressman Pete Hoekstra, now retired, having represented the people of the 2nd District of Michigan with great distinction for some 13 years. He is today a Shulman Fellow at the highly regarded Investigative Project on Terrorism, and a man that we turn to with regularity for his insights into the challenges of our time, and not least, understanding what has been wrought by the policies of what he calls the architects of disaster, the destruction of Libya, the subtitle of his new book. This is a time, Congressman, when, as you say, we're watching a profound challenge to Western security in the form of so-called refugees. Some of them are simply migrants. Some of them may well just be simply jihadists. In fact, the demographics suggest that could well be a large percentage of those coming in. And we certainly have been told by the Islamic State and I believe Al-Qaeda as well that they're going to take advantage of these refugee flows. We spoke a moment ago about the problem for Europe, but talk a little bit, if you would, about the prospect that these refugees may wind up in substantial numbers. The president has said something on the order of 100,000 from Syria alone in this country, and specifically the extent to which they may fall in with the Muslim Brotherhood operations now widely dispersed in this country that could make for a very dangerous combination.
I think that's exactly right. A very dangerous combination. Remember, it was last week that the director of the FBI said there were something like 900 ongoing investigations in the United States dealing in one form or another with ISIS. And I can tell you that when I was chairman or the ranking member of the Intelligence Committee, we would be briefed regularly by the FBI and other domestic law enforcement about threats to the homeland. And in all of the briefings that I received for roughly 6.5 years, I would never have, I never received anything on the scale as what in public Director Comey identified last week. You know, we would be talking about individual cases or groups and those types of things in the time that I was there, but nothing in the neighborhood of 900. And that just makes me wonder, you know, what the depth of these concerns are in these 900 cases. It's very frightening.
Of course, as you know, he's also said that he has active cases involving the Islamic State in all 50 of our states. And that suggests, I don't know if there's some, you know, overlap of those two data points, but whatever it is, that's a huge problem. And that's before the 100,000 Syrians may turn up and compound it, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, the two data points are that, you know, this is a huge, where they overlap is this is a huge problem, both in the quantity and the spread of the threat from ISIS and other radical jihadist groups here right in the United States. But the bigger threat here and the longer-term threat, Frank, is there are millions of refugees in the Middle East, and this president is not taking any steps at all to solve the problems in the Middle East that will allow the displaced and refugees in Iraq, in Syria, in Jordan, in Northern Africa to actually have stability back in the region. And so rather than fighting ISIS over there, which had been the strategy for you know, just about every administration prior to this, rather than fighting radical jihadists where they are and isolating them, this president appears to be saying, you know, I'm not going to fight them over there. Well, the thing is, if you're not going to fight them over there, then they're going to come here and we're going to be fighting them here. And that's what you're seeing happening, especially in Europe. But eventually that migration of violence, we are already starting to see the early signs it's going to come into the United States.
Let me ask you to drill down on one piece of this, Congressman, both in your time in government and now with the Investigative Project on Terrorism, which has done as important work as any organization I know of, certainly outside of government, but arguably inside, about the Muslim Brotherhood and its front organizations and their agenda. They call it civilization jihad, as you know, a kind of stealthy, not so much nonviolent as pre-violent effort to wage this supremacist holy war against us. How do you see the mosques, the front groups, the Islamic societies, the infrastructure, in short, that the Muslim Brotherhood has been putting into place patiently, steadily, and I'm afraid with considerable effect, dominating the Muslim American community, among other things, but that infrastructure possibly being put in the service of these other jihadists, should they arrive here in any number, is that something that greatly exacerbates the danger that the Brotherhood by itself or the Islamic State and its friends by themselves would represent?
It really, really would. And there's a report that we're going to have coming out from the Investigative Project on Terrorism. We've just gotten about slightly over 1,000 pages of court documents in a legal proceeding here in the United States that very clearly outlines how a number of these organizations that you're describing are nothing more than front organizations for the Muslim Brotherhood. And I think the thing that not only are they dominating the Muslim community here in the United States, Frank, but the other thing that they're doing, and you know, you and I again have talked about this frequently, and we're concerned about it. They're also directing the debate here in the United States in terms of, you know, if you raise any issue about concern about certain facets of Islam or the Muslim Brotherhood, you immediately become an Islamophobe, and you know. The amazing, you know, this whole thing about, you know, none of the violence in the Middle East, if you question saying, you know, some of that, you know, comes from religion. Oh, you're an Islamophobe, you know. It's very, very scary how they're controlling the debate and defining individuals who question anything or raise a threat or a concern about the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. They immediately come out and try to marginalize those individuals in that line of thinking.
Yeah, well, this is, again, part and parcel of that agenda of Sharia blasphemy, is to suppress the kind of speech or situational awareness even that obviously would be an impediment to their success. And Congressman, again, drawing on your past experience as well as what you're doing today, you're familiar, of course, with the efforts that have been made, some, I'm afraid, quite successful, to prevent the FBI, the intelligence community, the military, the Department of Homeland Security from training in an informed way about these Islamic supremacists, their jihadist agenda, their Sharia ideology, and the like. How difficult does that make the job of trying to protect us against these adversaries if you're not able to understand what they're about?
Well, Frank, you and I, last week, we had an opportunity to meet with an individual who was just back from the Kurdistan region of Iraq. And, you know, it was frightening as this, you know, hero for America, someone who was protecting the Kurds and fighting ISIS, told us about the pitiful rules of engagement that he had to fight under he was under the control of while he was in Iraq, and we saw that play out over the weekend as reports came in that one of this young man's former colleagues was killed in the Kurdistan region of Iraq. And so I bring that up because overseas you see our military with one hand tied behind their back.
Congressman, we have to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back with more with Congressman Pete Hoekstra, former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.